You're starting your day with the all-new KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
I'm joined now by Vern McKinley. He is the author of Financing Failure, A Century of Bailouts, and he has also worked with he is a research fellow at the Independent Institute, and he holds degrees in finance and economics from the University of Illinois, graduated with honors from George Washington University School of Law. Joining me now on the KCMO Morning Show. Vern, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. You know, you write all about these bailouts and the fact that these are just the most recent. And unfortunately, we've done this for quite a while in America, and the government has been right in the middle of it all, from the Treasury Department to the Federal Reserve to the FDIC. Can you give us just kind of a condensed background of how we got here?
Well, I was able to trace back almost 100 years to the first real bailout that was during World War One, and as you trace through history, the Great Depression, you had the Reconstruction Finance Corporation during the 80s. There were numerous individual institutions like Continental that were bailed out, and then obviously the most recent one. And as you go in time, the numbers get bigger. The institutions, whether it's Fannie and Freddie or investment banks in the most recent crisis, the population of institutions just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And every time they say, well, next time we're just not going to do this anymore, they pass a few laws, and surprise, next time around, the bailouts are even bigger. And that's been a pattern.
And Vern, it seems like that has helped create this moral hazard that people have talked about, where, you know, it used to be if your company did poorly, you were done. Your company went under, you lost your job, and you might have lost everything you invested in the company. So you were very careful on how you managed that company. And now you're like, well, you know, we're so big that if it really blows up, the government will just bail us out anyway. And so it's not capitalism, it's crony socialism. And that's the problem we've got now, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And the case of Continental in the 80s was the perfect example of that. And there was another one in the 70s, Franklin National. I mean, these were in the 70s and 80s, and they sent the signal, hey, if you're big, you're going to get bailed out. And then, of course, during the 90s, there was a lot of consolidation. The banks got bigger and bigger because of these incentives. And then, of course, you had these mega institutions, whether it was Wachovia or Bank of America or Citigroup, that were on the edge, and the regulators panicked and just decided to bail out all of them instead of letting any of them fail, which is the better way to go about it.
Well, let's get into that, Vern. Let's flash forward to now. And as you mentioned in your book, Financing Failure, Century Bailouts, they always use fear to get you to go along with this. And the fear was, you know, sold to us, if we don't do this, if we don't bail out the financial industry here, then we're going to have a second Great Depression. What do you say to that, and how they did this, and what do you think would have been a better alternative to what we've done?
Well, I was very skeptical of that because I knew a lot of the history. I've been working in the industry for 25 years. And so what I did, I started some digging, went to the FDIC and the Fed and asked them a pretty simple question. I said, what bad things would have happened if these institutions would have been allowed to fail? And essentially, there's no there. They had a lot of, they gave me some emails and some spreadsheets and some numbers that said, well, you know, these are pretty big institutions, we're worried about them, but there was really no connecting the dots from, okay, this bank, whether it's Bear Stearns or Lehman or AIG, an insurance company, fails, and then the dominoes are going to all fall. There's absolutely no supporting evidence for that argument. So it was a lot of fear-mongering, and I think that reached its height during the TARP, where I think some of the Treasury people, one of the guys was quoted as saying, you know, our strategy is going to be to scare the SH out of everybody.
Yeah, and they did. So wait, Vern, so you're saying that, so tell me what you think would have happened if we hadn't done this, that a couple of these banks would have gone under, what other people would have bought up their debt at probably a very reduced rate? Maybe a lot of these banks that didn't get involved with some of these crazy mortgage-based securities would have bought up some of it maybe, or restructured some of it. I mean, how exactly would it have played out without bringing down everybody's financial house?
Well, exactly. A few of them would have failed. There would have been what's called price discovery, where you find out what these mortgages are worth. I had experience on that when I was at the RTC in the 1990s. We went in and sold everything,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you move forward. That's
so you get to a bottom line price that other people will buy, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly, yeah. And as far as an example, again, back from my work history, I was working down in Texas in the 80s during the crisis there. In 1980, there were 10 big banks. The end of that decade in 1990, one of those banks was still alive. 9 of them either failed or got bought out by out-of-state interests. So there was an example right there where 9 out of 10 banks essentially disappeared, and you know, you injected new blood into the system, and look how good the economy is doing now in Texas. It's booming.
Yeah, and the companies that are doing well succeed and buy up the ones that aren't doing well and make those work better. I mean, that's the way that it's supposed to work, and we're stopping it. We're getting in the mix. Here's the thing, Vern. Vern wrote Financing Failure, Century Bailouts. It's out today. You can buy it online. I'm going to have the link up on the Facebook page. I had a caller yesterday, Vern, that said, Greg, the TARP and the bailouts worked. It saved us. The 401k is back up. The auto industry is saved. Why are you so against this? What would you say to that?
Well, he's just making no connection between TARP and the economy bouncing back. I mean, that's the natural thing. I think Milton Friedman used to describe it as a rubber band. You pull it down deep, and it bounces back up just as hard. So, I mean, it's the natural response for it to bounce back. As far as TARP itself, I mean, that was a bad thing in the sense that to pass it, they scared the heck out of everybody, and that made the whole panic worse. But the TARP itself, there's really no connection there, because what happened was a lot of money, hundreds of billions of dollars went out. It sat on the bank's balance sheets. They didn't lend like they were supposed to do or it was intended to be done, and then they paid the money back. Big deal. I mean, that's a non-event to me. I mean, there's no connection between that and any kind of bounce back in the economy.
Would you say this, Vern, what I'm seeing on this is everything that we're doing from, like you said, over these last 100 years and the Great Depression and everything has made these depressions and recession last longer, leaves us with more debt, creates a situation where the companies now are not as careful with what they do and leaves these bad policies in place. And yet, then all of a sudden, because we're always going to bounce back eventually, they're able to say, see, we did it. So let's do it again next time. And we just keep doing this and getting more and more into this very dangerous idea of bailing out companies that shouldn't be bailed out on the taxpayer dime.
And we have a pretty good example of what might happen the next time around. I mean, our situation with our fiscal problems, when that hits the fan, it's kind of intertwined with the banks, because the one of the bank's biggest investment is government security. So you have what's happened in a lot of the European countries, like Ireland is the perfect example of that. They bailed out the banks. They, you know, overstepped what they should have done, and they got themselves into a fiscal mess, which is going to take probably 10 or 15 years to get out of. So when you have the fiscal and the financial kind of intertwined, like it'll probably be in the next crisis, that's when you have the really serious problems, and it's almost the point of no return.
You know, Vern, you talk about the next crisis, and that's what I want to ask you about, because we're told that Dodd-Frank's taking care of this. From what I've read through, it does nothing to stop this from happening again. If you were in charge, what would you do to, you know, allow our financial system to work the way it's supposed to without the government's manipulation, so that we have a more sound system without all these ups and downs?
Well, first of all, I would drop down deposit insurance. They bumped it up from $100,000 to $250,000, which I think was a big mistake.
Now, can you explain to everybody exactly what that is, what that insurance is?
Well, it's the amount that's covered if a bank fails, and if you have, say, $20,000, you're covered. If you have $40,000, you're covered. If you have $300,000, you might take a little of a hit.
So it's per account that you have, correct?
It's all of your accounts
bank
combined,
yeah.
up to the limit. So, I mean, by raising that, it essentially covers the big depositors, and in a lot of cases, it's also foreign depositors. If you look through some of the descriptions I have in the book, mm-hmm. One of the big worries was, well, a lot of these foreign depositors are going to be spooked if we close a bank and we're never going to see them again.
Gotcha.
And so the second issue, I would definitely get rid of Fannie and Freddie. I mean, your normal person would look at the Fannie Freddie situation, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who bought up a lot of the mortgages. They were backed by the government implicitly, and they failed, and the taxpayers are on the hook for probably about $200 billion. I mean, your average person would look at that situation and say, hey, we got to rethink this. We got to get rid of them. We got to wind them down. Instead, everything, you know, looks like it's pushing in the opposite direction, and they're actually still operating, and there's no end in sight to their operation.
And they just approved doing even bigger mortgages. Not too long ago. Well, it was a couple months ago.
For some of the big dollar areas like California, they can bump up to
jumbo
like $600,000 or $700,000. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And as you mentioned in your book, the government, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac were so implicit in what happened with the mortgage-backed security, and it really explains it well. So if you want to understand what's going on with these bailouts, financing failure, A Century of Bailouts is the book. It's out right now. Vern McKinley, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate the book.
All right. Thanks again, Greg.
All the best. Greg Knapp.